Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Tip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the rise.
Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City Chefs, Chefs.
Yes, Lord, we got a brand new president. What? Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of
come on.
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside the kitchen. Timeless is alive. Sports City, what is going on? It's your boy TP Timeless at the helm. The calling number is 929-477-2759. I am feeling some type of way this morning. I did not get any rest. I'm working on fumes right now, but believe me, the electricity in my body got me feeling like Raiden from Mortal Kombat. I cannot wait to get into this one. Believe me, I'm on my brother Noonsay stuff. But calling in by way of the region of Indiana, we have Chris Barnett in the building. Welcome to the tailgate. How are you feeling this morning?
My man, Ty, I'm alive in March Madness, bro. I'm absolutely ecstatic. I stayed up until about 4 watching just replays, a couple of games that I didn't catch during the day. Man, Illinois is looking strong. Baylor's looking strong. But you know who isn't looking strong? We'll get to that later. How you doing?
Yeah, just you. I just talk about just you. I don't want to get into them games. That's what this show is all about. That's what this show is all about. Believe me, I am feeling some type of way. We got a good amount of people here, too, by the way. So this is something awesome. I like feel the energy from them, too, as well. And believe me, I need every last bit of it. But I can't go any further, y'all. My co-host, calling out of the region of Georgia by way of the state of Michigan, we got Deshaun Tate in the building. Welcome to the tailgate. How are you feeling this morning?
Man, I'm outstanding. Merry Christmas to you guys, man. It's March Madness. This is what it's about. It's about the buzzer beaters. It's about the upsets, the 5 versus 12 matchups. A lot of these guys never going to have a chance to step foot on an NBA floor ever again. Dude, there's nothing better than this. Y'all can go and give me Super Bowl, this, that. It doesn't matter what you come with. The most unpredictable 3 weeks in all of sports. You thought yesterday was crazy? Just wait until today.
Yo, the crazy part is he's right. Like, a lot of the seniors, you know what I'm saying, they don't get to play ball again. You know what I'm saying? So it's heavy, like, knowing that, you know. But just looking at how the college career started, a lot of these guys are one and done. They probably won't play again if they go straight to the league. And depending on how some of these players do paying out with their college careers. But I know that there were a lot of interesting games, a lot of interesting matchups. And, oh, yes. We have some upsets that are brewing, and I will be getting to a ton of them, or if not all of them, within this 60-minute realm. Now, this is the crazy part, right? Because there was a playing game, and I left this dude alone. Y'all, I swear I chilled so hard. I chilled. I didn't want to talk about it right there because, you know, I need brothers to gather, regroup, you know, because I don't come for them like they come for me. They send me all type of pictures and memes. Yo, y'all got to see how my text message went. Yo, it goes absolutely haywire, right? So we watched a play-in game, everybody. Y'all seen how that went down. It was a game between a Pac-12 team and a 10 team. And if you come here and hear me or a day-by-day basis out on CH, you hear me talk about the Pac-12 and the Big Ten, and they had a matchup. And I was unfortunate to see that UCLA knocked off Michigan State. Sparty. And in the midst of this, right, you have a situation where halftime comes. Tom Izzo can't control one of the players, and this got out of hand where everybody saw it. That camera followed them all the way to the back of that the locker room door. And I'm wondering if that actually filtered into the game. And Michigan State did what they could to fight and keep this into an overtime thing. But that was something that I think everybody across the country saw. And I don't know how Tom Izzo's trying to handle this situation. And I was actually talking for myself. I was like, as soon as we get back to Michigan, you can finish the year. I'll let you finish the year and get to the transfer portal as best as possible. But the way that I really feel like he was not respecting Tom Izzo at a critical part time of the game. So I'll talk about that plan because I know that there's value here while we discuss this. I know there's a couple of people in the crowd that are also either Pac-12 or Big Ten affiliated, so I would like to hear if they want to jump in as well. But I'll set it off, Chris. I'll let you talk about it. Your thoughts on UCLA defeating Michigan State 86-80 in the play-in game when we were talking about both conferences just previously last week.
Man, I tell you, it's a great thing for UCLA. Unfortunately, it's a pyrrhic victory. That victory came at a cost. That's too great. They lose probably their best offensive player. But it really does show you how hard it is to play in the tournament. It really does show you how hard it is to get to the tournament. And it really does show you that sometimes you can't really bank on the name that you have. And you got to go out and play ball. And UCLA was able to do that. And Sparty was not. And, you know, it's going to be a different March now. No Sparty, no Duke. It's definitely an awesome experience. As I don't think we'll ever have another March Madness like this, Ty.
BT, I know this is home sweet home. And I'm not going to lie. I really pegged y'all on one of my bracket, I had y'all beating UCLA because I didn't believe in UCLA at all. Even though their record was better, I really felt like Michigan State was a better team, and Michigan State fell short, and this has been the mantra all season long. Your thoughts on the game, I mean, you're a good sport, but I know me, I can't take my boys losing at this type of, facet of the season. But your thoughts on the game, how do you feel UCLA are panning out after winning this game? Because this could be a momentum shift, too, for them.
Yeah, I think this is a game that I expect for, or maybe not expect, that I think certainly depending on the health of one of the players, being Johnny Juzang specifically, depends on what kind of chance I'm going to give them at beating a BYU team that's really good and almost gave Gonzaga a loss, or came the closest, rather, to giving Gonzaga a loss earlier this season, perhaps. But I'll say enough to say this about Michigan State. I mean, was it a surprise? I feel like I was fairly or relatively objective going into the game, mentioning that it could certainly be a game that Michigan State could lose. There's not been anything consistent about Michigan State this year at all. Actually, you know what I can think of? There has been one thing, and that is the fact that the only consistency they've shown is that they've been consistently inconsistent. And the rotation hasn't even been consistent. Now, I think that maybe sometimes we're blowing this thing out of proportion, sometimes a little bit too much when it comes to Tom Izzo, because that's just what they do at Michigan State. They get into it, and he wants to get the best out of his group. And that's something that happened with arguably their best player a couple of years ago that the tournament was played, in Aaron Henry, his freshman year, that was similar. And people were, media and whatever was bashing Tom Izzo at that time as well. But anybody will tell you that came up through that program that that's just the relationship and that everybody kind of has to go through with Tom Izzo. But make no mistake about it. You know, like you said, that this is an unprecedented year. The last time that we didn't see Duke and North Carolina and Kentucky in the Sweet 16 was 1979, ironically enough. So you know what? At the end of the day, it's all about surviving and advancing. UCLA did something right down the stretch and showed that Michigan State didn't have the identity and that they, looked similar to how they've looked all season, showed its ugly face. One is going home. The other one is not. Keep it moving.
How do you feel about the altercation between the player and Tom Izzo, though? I mean, like, do you think this is something that has legs? Do you think that this is something that they stopped at the bus? Like, go ahead, finish. I'll let you go.
It's a combination of both, a little bit, I think. I mean, one of the bigger issues for Tom Izzo, I think, sometimes is you can't you can't yell at these kids similar to the way that you, the ones that you had in the past. You know, these parents, and this is definitely not a shot by any stretch of the imagination, but I say this facetiously and only halfway joking. These kids have feelings on this team. These kids come from two-parent households. That's different than some of the kids that you may have brought in previously to Michigan State to help you win a lot of those championships and that you relied so heavily upon. So I think that there needs to be some differences in terms of some of the guys that you are recruiting. In addition to that, you can't talk to every kid the same, let alone some people feel like, okay, if you're yelling at a person, that's one thing. You're putting your hands on another on a kid, that's another thing. I don't have a problem with it. It's not like he's beating the kid over the head with a paddle. He grabbed him by his uniform, and that's just his fiery way. Sometimes I feel like a lot of these kids will tell you later on in life that that's what I needed, and I don't think that that's coincidental at all. So it definitely had an effect on the game because clearly Michigan State's going in with, what, somewhere close to a 14-point lead at the half, and then it looked like it had an effect in the second half based on the fact that the other kids, they didn't want it. Gabe Brown came out playing well, but the other kids started playing in the second half like, I don't want to mess up. It wasn't free-flowing anymore. It's like, I don't want to be the person that's in coach's doghouse after what Gabe Brown just ended up getting in the locker room by the coach at the half. So that's my outlook.
Yeah, I'm hoping he didn't mess up his situation, man, and that'll be pretty crazy either way it looks like I would think, you know, Tom Izzo being one of those people, persons, and those player type of coaches that they probably resolve this before they get into Michigan and, you know, shake their hands and move forward. But it the way that he was talking, pointing his finger in Tom Izzo's face, it's like you're talking not only to a head coach, but that's a grown man. You could potentially be there on scholarship, and from what I saw, I didn't see any value of respect. But that's neither here nor there. I do want to get into more of these games, but I know that was a play in to set that thing off. And this first day of college basketball did not disappoint. So I'm going to get into a lot of the scores and kind of go from there. We had Florida beat Virginia Tech 75-70, in which I feel bad for Virginia Tech because Virginia Tech has been out a lot due to the COVID situation, and the committee still gave them a spot because they actually played decent ball in the duration of the season, but actually ended up losing this game to a Florida team who's actually been playing decent in the SEC. But I don't have Florida going too far. I wanted to get to all of these up, but I kind of want to stop on some of these. But this is an interesting matchup that I wanted to get to. I'll come to you on this one, Chris. Your thoughts on the Virginia Tech Florida matchup, in which Florida actually survives to move on.
Yeah, I tell you, I'm worried about Florida. They should not have needed overtime to beat Virginia Tech. I think although Virginia Tech has had a marvelous season with all things considered, Florida is just a better team. But they showed their weakness once again, and it's the inability to put the neck in a position of a vice grip to squeeze off the team when they have a lead. Like, they just can't do it. They don't have what we used to term as, like, that killer instinct. They play frenetic at times. But I thought Florida would have a chance to not only beat Virginia Tech, but to give another team in the next round a problem. But they don't even have that issue now to deal with. And I think Florida is one of those teams that they develop the momentum. They already have an understanding of who they are. If they can get hot and win the next round against a team that I don't want to put out there because that's another interesting matchup that happened, then we might end up having an all-SEC matchup between Florida and potentially Arkansas. And it would be absolutely to Florida's advantage as the team that is not as good because they now have seen Arkansas enough times to possibly give them a matchup that they could exploit. So I'm actually really happy that Florida won. And in some ways, I just don't like the fact it took overtime. But shout out to the Hokies, man. They really did a lot to get where they were, and I'm kind of appreciative of the tournament committee giving them a selection.
DT, your thoughts on this matchup where Florida actually did outlast Virginia Tech 75-70 in overtime, and just knowing that the path that Virginia Tech had to go through to get here, I think, I don't know if I want to say sentimental value, but, you know, everything they had to go through with sitting out games due to the COVID scenario. I mean, your thoughts on the game and both teams as well, and the interesting situation that I want to spill into next about Arkansas beating Colgate. I mean, that game was taken care of handily, but with that being an interesting matchup coming up, or potentially coming up, your thoughts on Florida winning this matchup?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, they're also, I believe, it's fair to say that they've been playing with an emotional chip on their shoulder a little bit, too, after losing Keldon Johnson, and arguably their best player on the team at that time. But listen, the big man in the middle in Castleton did a very good job, and he's been doing just as good of a job as anybody on that team, in the addition to Trey Mann as well, trying to create a little bit more of an inside-outside combo, trying to establish that. And the X factor for this team, and I always felt this way, was going to be Scotty Lewis. If he comes to play, then they advance. If he doesn't come to play, then they go home. And you pack your bags up. And so this isn't a Florida team. I thought that this was a Virginia Tech team that I thought would win by a landslide. Absolutely not. Could it go either way? Absolutely. But the difference maker being that Virginia Tech shoots a lot of threes at a high clip, high volume shooting team, and they typically win those games when they're shooting it well. The difference, they didn't shoot it well. That's one of the reasons why they're going home, and Florida is surviving, and Florida is advancing.
Okay, but we'll see how far the Gators go. I really don't have them going too far in the bracket that I'm looking at right now, but they did take care of business in handling this one, and I feel unfortunate for Virginia Tech, but now looking at one in my bracket, it's like I'm going to spill it to this next game. And, I got to say it, man. The Big Ten, like, there's only a couple teams hanging on right now. Some haven't even played. But this one is the shocker of the tournament already out the gate. Cinderella is dancing. Oral Roberts wins their matchup 75-72 up against Ohio State, in which we've had a discussion and a big-time debate right here in the middle of the tailgate for the past couple of weeks, and I was telling people that this is not gold. This is not gold. Even though they've had an exceptional season to start the season, they started to break down later when it started to get pressing in conference play, and Oral Roberts stunned them, having a 17-10 season, winning this matchup. I'll come to you first on this one, Chris, because I want to get more from the Big Ten guy. Your thoughts on Oral Roberts stunning people? This broke my bracket up because I'm not going to lie. I had Ohio State winning this game on every bracket and getting as far as the Sweet 16 at the least. Some of them I had them as an Elite Eight. So this really busted my bracket with Oral Roberts taking care of business.
Man, I tell you, shout out to the 8% of the people who put in a bracket that had Oral Roberts. It busted my bracket. I didn't see this coming. I thought maybe it could be like a 70-60 game, maybe a 66-58 game. I didn't see Oral Roberts hanging around and basically matching Ohio State bucket for bucket. But I want to say it's something that Deshaun said earlier. I mean, this is what makes March great. This is why I like March Madness more than the Super Bowl as well. But I tell you, I wasn't high on Ohio State towards the end of the Big Ten season, nor did I like their exit in the Big Ten tournament. We look at Ohio State and we ask ourselves legitimately, where is the next step going to come from? Because this is now another time they're ranked fairly high in the tournament, but they just never seem to really produce a consistent program. And this is going to hurt. It hurts the Big Ten. It hurts Ohio State. It hurts the players on there. And you know what? It hurts players or hurts people who put money on their bracket. Shout out to our NBA on CH March Madness bracket. But this is what makes March great, man. So shout out to Oral Roberts. I mean, you can't take it away from them. They won.
I mean, your thoughts on this matchup, Oral Roberts with the stunner, I really did not think that they would outlast Ohio State. I thought this was one of those matches. And this is where you guys are right. this is like bigger than the Super Bowl because you get to see these upsets, and it's like you can't test the will of a champion. And not to say that Oral Roberts will come out and just win the tournament. If they do this, I apologize. But for Ohio State to go through the run that they've been through, I want to say throughout the last 8 games, they lost 5, or this is 6 now out of their last 9. I thought Ohio State would get it together and start rolling while the tournament came around, especially with the start that they had on the season, and they didn't. And having a guy like E.J. Liddell go off and have a 23-point, 14-rebound type of game, it still wasn't enough to go up against a guy like Kevin Opener for 30 and 11 up against a Big Ten Ohio State top 10 ranked team in the nation.
Yeah, I think when it came down to it, I mean, listen, you know, when you start factoring in what Ohio State does, particularly what they did, they are a team that is a little thin in the front court. That should have been enough, you would think, for a team like Oral Roberts. When you got Ace Smith in there, who's experienced, and obviously Illinois as well, or Banner, rather, that's something that when you start looking at Ohio State, what they have is they do have the guard play, and that is a recipe for success during this time of the year, talking about the NCAA tournament. But they have tons of role players, and they don't really have a go-to guy. And if E.J. Liddell is your go-to guy, while I do like that idea, I don't like him to as a guy who's kind of like an undersized big, although he is extremely strong. That doesn't bode well for certain teams. And obviously, there's clearly a matchup problem. And not even just that, but listen, who's to say that any of the 2 seeds that Oral Roberts would have played yesterday that they wouldn't have won? It just happened to be Ohio State. I mean, I think that there's vulnerability with every 2 seed. There's probably vulnerability with every team in this thing not named Gonzaga, if I'm just being honest. So you definitely have to tip your cap, give credit to where it's due, it's deserved. For Oral Roberts, who moved on. Obviously, Big Ten not playing all that well. Purdue went down as well yesterday to North Texas. I mean, the Big Ten's got more teams than everybody else. So while it is relatively easy for us to sit back and talk about how well or lack thereof that the Big Ten has been, we did expect for Illinois to do what they did. That the win for Rutgers, I think, was, while it wasn't necessarily impressive because it is Clemson at the end of the day, it does look like it could be dangerous for the next round after that. And then Wisconsin, in most cases, for most people, I think, didn't really expect this, but they beat North Carolina like a Bob Ross paintbrush. I mean, that's just what it was at the end of the day, the reality of it. So there's going to be losses for each conference. Wait.
You're going over all the scores. Hold on. Stop.
Oh, I thought we were getting into Big Ten. I thought that's what you were saying. Well, you mentioned.
Yeah, but just this game alone.
Okay.
Continue. But I wanted to, you know, individually give some.
I got you. I'll wait for you.
Okay, fair enough. I'll get away from it because I wanted to, like, kind of, you know, go through it as best as possible because that Purdue situation, sure, that was something I was going to jump at too. But I didn't want to get there just yet because,
sure,
I got a couple games more to go. But I'll get there quickly because I do want to talk about that. Arkansas takes care of business up against Colgate, 85-68. Oklahoma State, Cade Cunningham and company beat Liberty 69-60. There was more people that came around us on CH talking about the accountability of more players on that Oklahoma State team to be around Cade. I want to see how far you guys got Oklahoma State going. I'll come to you first, DT. Your thoughts on the Cowboys in their advancement after beating Liberty, and how do you feel about them in this tournament?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Oklahoma State is obviously a really good team. I'm not sure really what happens in the event, and I'm not saying they should bank on this per se, but I don't know who they are without Cade Cunningham exactly. I've seen them win some games without him in the regular season, but just how spectacular he has to be. He was not like the greatest thing since sliced bread on yesterday for the game, and they still stepped up. A lot of really good role players. I mean, it's no secret. I made comparisons to the 2003 Syracuse team that won a national championship when it came to this team as well, just because of the fact that they had the role players that you put around the best player on the team at that time, Carmelo Anthony, and at this time, Cade Cunningham. so with that being said, listen, I think it's a team that I think can certainly go to the Sweet 16. I think they start exceeding our my expectations. We're talking about a team like that going to the Final Four, if I'm just being completely honest.
Yeah, I didn't really see that much that I liked about Oklahoma State either. Kate Cunningham is going to be the first pick overall, more than likely, and they beat Liberty by 9. I mean, that doesn't really scream tournament team to me just yet. Maybe some of the contributions that the role players are given, maybe they can step up. But I don't think Oklahoma State's going to be a real viable Final Four contender if they can't get to the 75-point range. Because if they can't get to 75 points, I don't see really how they beat Illinois. So I like Cade Cunningham. I think they really need to dig in and take Oregon State seriously. I think Oregon State's going to give them some matchup problems.
Okay, I'll get past that situation quickly. West Virginia takes care of business, 84-67 on a historic day for Bob Huggins. I'm not going to lie, I'm a Big East guy. Respect the hell out of Bob Huggins, and this is a big day for him. Winning this game 84-67. A lot of people had Morehead State trying to win this game on the season that they had, but I actually had West Virginia winning this on every bracket, similar to the way that I had Ohio State doing their thing. Anything that you guys would like to add to Huggins on a historic day? I'll come to you again, DT, before I go to Chris.
No doubt. Yeah, I'm just really happy to see that he's somewhat getting the respect that he deserves. I know that there's been a lot of conversation about him either getting in or not getting in as a Hall of Famer. With 900 wins, it's hard for me to believe. Like, what else do you have to do in order to become, get on that ballot and to actually be in the Hall of Fame? I think he's well-deserving, and I love him, man. It's a dude that hardly ever cracks a smile, but you can tell he's probably like the big teddy bear, you know, behind closed doors and whatever else, whatnot. But I always like his style. He's always going to come with really hard-nosed defense, the players, the mentality. His time at Cincinnati, his time at Kansas State, now his time at West Virginia. I mean, he's a winner on all levels no matter where he ends up. And going back to what you were saying really quick about Cade Cunningham, I'm still a little indecisive on whether he's special or not. Is he good? Absolutely. Is he really good? Is he above average? Absolutely. Better than mediocre. I'm just not sure why I can't put my finger on whether he's a special player or not. I'm going to pass it over to Chris.
Wow, he's over here making Cade Cunningham seem like Andrew Wiggins, man. Hurts my feelings.
Oh, my goodness.
No, but you know what? I actually understand where Deshaun is coming from, because when I watch Cade Cunningham in this Oklahoma State team, I get the same questions. With Coach Huggins, I got to admit, when I'm wrong, I was wrong. He's a Hall of Fame coach. I honestly didn't think he would make it this long. I thought he would burn himself out or, you know, excommunicate himself out of college in a similar fashion to maybe Bobby Knight. So shout out to Coach Huggs, you know. And, yes, one of the guests that I interviewed for my podcast did some scouting work for Huggs, and he says Huggs is hilarious.
You could tell it's something hidden, just like Deshaun said. It's like he may act like he's so sick. Well, he is serious. I can't say he's acting, but it's just a mystique about him. I still remember that run that he had with Deshaun Butler and them, that gesture that he did during that game when Deshaun tore his leg up. I will never forget Huggins for that. It changed my whole perspective on him as a coach. Syracuse, an ACC team formerly out of the Big East, stunned me. I mean, even though I really felt like San Diego State could make this a game, they blew them out 78-62, in which Buddy Boeheim of Jim Boeheim goes off for 30, ripping these guys apart. I can't say too much more about San Diego State. Matt Mitchell had a good game with 17, 8, and 4 assists. I mean, Syracuse did their thing to advance. I mean, how do we feel about that one? I'll come to you on this one, Chris. I mean, can Boeheim get this storm started for the Orange?
No. I know we're gonna get hit with that whole, oh, it's the Syracuse 2-3 zone for the tournament. Oh, Buddy Boeheim is gonna light up. Buddy Boeheim is Nick Stauskas, whatever. San Diego State just laid an egg. There's a more athletic team. There's a more talented team. That zone, they just didn't see it enough to be prepared for it. They're going to run into West Virginia. And West Virginia sees a lot of 2-3 zones, and they've seen Syracuse's 2-3 zones. Bobby Huggins understands it. So, no, I don't think they get past West Virginia. I think you know, that coaching your son in the tournament, you know, check it off the bucket list, but I don't see Syracuse advancing past this round.
DC, how about you? How do you feel? Do you think Cuse actually pushes past this round of 32 or no?
Yeah, it's all about getting hot at the end of the day. And they're obviously appearing to be getting hot. But there's question marks. They're not a team that I think automatically we're just going to use as a shoe-in because they look this good against a San Diego State team that lost its best player from last year. And, you know, when it comes to guys like Buddy Boeheim, I mean, the dude can play some ball. Don't get it, you know, twisted. You know, there's people might say, you know, well, he's only on the team because of his dad, or he's only getting these shots off because of his dad, or he's only seeing this much time on the floor because of his dad, but the dude can play. I think if they're able to find a way to implement what Joe Girard can bring to the table, a guy who scored a ton of points, look him up if you have no idea who he is, coming out of New York, if they're able to get some persistent play out of him, then I think that they could maybe win another game, and I say that loosely. It just depends on what Syracuse team is going to show up. Is it going to be the Syracuse that we've seen for the most part of the year, or is it going to be the Syracuse that we saw, you know, in yesterday's game? And they're not the only team that you can say that about. I wasn't sure what Arkansas team was going to show up. A lot of these teams in the tournament, again, going back to what I was saying in comparison with the exception of Gonzaga, a lot of these teams, we don't really know what their identity is because they came out looking really good, then they fell off the map at some point during the season and fell out of the top 25 and made their way back. Kansas is one of those teams. Arkansas, one of those teams. Tennessee is one of those teams. And a lot of them are really good teams, if I'm just being honest. So it's just about which one is going to show up. That zone is hard to duplicate, not only because they know how to make adjustments within it, but the way that they recruit with the length and the athleticism, amongst other things. So I'd be really interested to see exactly where things go with them in the next matchup.
Hey, I got a question for you.
What up, Doc?
Are the Sacramento Kings going to draft Buddy Boeheim?
I'm not saying I'm going that far.
I think
the bigger question, to be fair, I think the bigger question is where at in the draft? Like, are we talking somewhere between 55 and 60, or are we talking about in the lottery?
Well, I'm asking because, you know, Buddy Boeheim checks all the boxes for what the Kings want to draft in terms of a relative shooting guard. Just look at Jimmer Fredette and Nick Stauskas. All I'm saying.
No, I respect that. I don't know the answer. They're a team that typically does not draft apparently very well already anyway. But that's just not one that I really have the answer to. I can't imagine him being like a great pro or anything like that. I'm not saying he's the greatest thing since, you know, Red Velvet Cheesecake or nothing like that, but yet still, I mean, who knows what he can be as a pro, as a guy who has some size to stretch the floor, but not all that great defensively considering his size, yet still also being a guy that, you know, I mean, they don't really play the let me get down, you know, in defensive stance type of NBA anymore either. You know, can he be a B. Mekhi Luke at the next level? I don't know.
All right, fair enough. We'll see how this all pans out. Now, this next game I'm about to get into, right? It's unreal how this team has actually been persevering year after year with an unfair good luck charm and shout out to Loyola Chicago. They have a special person, and She's 101 years old, and she follows this team as best as possible, including following them during this pandemic. And they win this game up against Georgia Tech, another ACC team, 71-60, pushing forward to the round of 32. I'm wondering if this is still up their sleeve, if they can go as far as the Sweet 16 again. I want to see how you guys feel about this one. Georgia Tech, it had an unfair advantage because they had to deal with an injury before the game, but still yet I felt like they can actually compete. But Loyola Chicago, I will no longer sleep on you anymore. If you guys have a storm going on and you have, like, I want to say under 5 or 6 losses on the season, I'm counting you in. You guys are a first-round win for me, especially if your good luck charm is still on your side. I don't know if it's her or what, but I want to see how you guys feel about it. Chris, I'll come to you. Your thoughts on Loyola Chicago outlasting Georgia Tech by 11.
I think Josh Pastner might be the next head coach at Indiana University. You know what? Shout out to Loyola Chicago. If you guys don't know the story, Google it. They've done so many documentaries about the good luck charm that Timeless is mentioning, and I don't want to speak about it either because I don't want to take her away. Just a phenomenal story. And you know what? Loyola Chicago can ball, and they're starting to show the ability to maintain and sustain. And those are two different things. They're able to maintain a presence in our view, and they're able to sustain their success. And it's the same formula of every mid-major that's ready to take a leap into the higher mid-majors, a la Gonzaga, I can't really call Baylor a mid-major because they play in the Big 12. But St. Louis, George Mason, when they had their run, they're going to be able to bank on that, and they'll be able to expand. Georgia Tech, they kind of got in on the tournament because they got, you know, a fortuitous break in terms of dealing with COVID. I am not impressed with any of the progress, really, of the last 3 years. And I'm not really impressed with Josh Pastner as a head coach for Georgia Tech. I just don't think he really plays a brand of ball that'll be successful in the ACC because I don't think he's going to recruit heavily enough and high enough to match with the Dukes, even the North Carolinas, consistently. And now with, like, UVA also doing well, I think that makes it hard for him as well. But, yeah, shout-out to Loyola Chicago. Yeah, I hope they're able to win in the next round, but I don't really have them going far.
Okay, DP, your thoughts on the situation? Loyola Chicago's doing good last year, and right back at it, the same scene of the crime, beating up on a Georgia Tech team who actually just won the ACC tournament.
You start talking about having good luck for Sister Jean. They're going to need that good luck and hoping that Sister Jean can maybe suit up when they play up against the number one seeded team in the region in Illinois, which I think should still be a good game. It's the battle of the state. You know, it's going to be very similar to what we've seen in other games. Particularly, I think it should be interesting a little bit more than people think that it will be between Abilene and Texas today. But Cameron Crutwig is the big man in the middle. Everybody knows him. Nothing athletic looking about him. But he returns from the team that did go to the Final Four. And a lot of people think that this team's in, that this team is better than that team. I'm not going to go that far. I don't believe that. But do they have to be in order to beat Illinois? I like to think so, but I don't know. So I think it should be interesting to say the least. They're going to need Sister Jean. They better see if they got a small or a medium back there in the back, because they're going to need her to suit up when they take on Illinois. They're a team. They're going to need it. They're going to need all the help that they can get. But it's doable. As far as Josh Pastner goes, listen, I've been covering Georgia Tech basketball for the last 5 years here in Atlanta. They're an older group. He's always preached and talked about getting old and staying old. That's something that they did, and I do understand not having Moses Wright, the ACC Player of the Year. But you got to go out there and play with what you have. And I still think that they did a good job considering all things. You start looking at guys like Jose Alvarado, who does struggle shooting the ball a lot of times, knowing that he couldn't afford to do that going into this particular game. But he's the leader, probably the best leader in college basketball this year from a leader standpoint. They're buckling down on defense a little bit more, shooting the ball, what was it, over 60-plus percent from the field and still losing the game. You hardly ever hear about that. Michael DeVoe being the silent killer for that team, and Jordan Usher played really, really well for Georgia Tech. So as far as taking the Indiana job, by far I'm not going to go that far, Chris. I don't know if you're being facetious or what. But yet still, I think that if not nothing else, Josh Pastner certainly extended himself from a contract standpoint when it comes to Georgia Tech basketball. That hasn't been nearly what it used to be, when at least when I was growing up in the 80s and 90s.
Don't make a mess of this situation. I don't want her to go out there balling in her wheelchair. Don't do this, man. But it's an awesome story to see that this team responds to her. If Loyola Chicago is able to pull this off and knock off Illinois, my bracket is busted. Like, it's over. It's over if they can knock off Illinois. I don't know if they have it up this week, but just like you said, this is what it's all about, and those upsets will happen. I just don't know if they have it up their sleeve. If so, I'm done on majority of all of my brackets, all of them, including I had Georgia Tech advancing on all of the three brackets that I did outside of what we do here at Clubhouse and with Sports City also. So I'm
here
after this game.
I have no faith in Georgia Tech.
That's your ACC. I mean, you're an ACC guy. Well, I mean, you're Big Ten now. I don't know where you lie right now, because Maryland is in the Big Ten, so I don't know if you're still an ACC. I don't know.
I'm just saying,
you know?
I had no faith in Georgia Tech, man. It was just something. I mean, I can post it for you. If you don't believe me, I picked Loyola Chicago in every single bracket.
No, I'm not doubting you. I just said, you know, I don't know where your lineage lies right now. But we'll continue. I'm not going to get caught up. I'm not going to get caught up in the Big Ten.
I would still say I'm ACC. I follow Big Ten now because I live in Indiana and I'm a Maryland fan. But I would still say that predominantly ACC, and I follow four teams in the Big East because it's not the Big East anymore.
I'm not even pushing that envelope. But I'll get to the Big East right now. Villanova takes care of business. They take care of business up against Winthrop, 73-63. I'm concerned because I want to see how far Villanova is able to go without some of their interesting pieces that just suffered injuries, and I don't want this to be the setback for Jay Wright and the way that they were actually playing ball this season, and it actually started to pan out into a different direction. I don't know if you guys want to talk in depth about this game or the path of Villanova and the teams that they will end up playing. But as a 5-12, this is a big win for them up against the Winthrop team, who's actually been playing scrappy all season long with one loss on the season. I'll come to you first on this one, Chris. Your thoughts on Villanova as a whole package. I mean, I really don't want to talk about them in this game. I mean, you can if you like, but with them moving forward, how do you feel about their chances?
I think they have a puncher's chance because of experience and of success. I don't want to get into the game that much either. I think with North Texas beating Purdue, I think they have a good chance of making it to the Sweet 16.
Okay, Deshaun, your thoughts on this one, if you'd like to, or talking about Villanova and moving forward with the adversity they're having to deal with.
Yeah, no need to really, like, elaborate too much. I mean, listen, they ended up winning a game that a lot of people didn't believe that they were going to win, and most people decided to go the other way on their bracket. If anybody came into the NCAA tournament with more disrespect or with more chip on their shoulder, then it was because of Villanova with Colin Gillespie being out. Most people didn't want to give them a shot, and then Syracuse being the only other team, just because most people didn't believe that they belonged to be in. Now, when you start talking about we're flipping the page now, going over to the next round, meeting up with North Texas, I don't know. I mean, it depends on what North Texas shows up. But each game that Villanova And this is very important. Each game that Villanova does not have Colin Gillespie and they continue to win, and I mean, that's not going to do anything but help them. Now, if they were coming into the NCAA tournament without him right off the cuffs, then I think we'd be having a different conversation. But because they did have a chance to get a couple games in without him, it's something that I think that ultimately helps them out. So would it surprise anybody to see Villanova be a Sweet 16 team and then, I don't know, I guess ultimately lose to Baylor, or I guess maybe even Wisconsin, depending on how much you believe, then no, it wouldn't surprise me the least bit. And so I think at this point, anything after winning against Winthrop, you don't have a point guard, which essentially is the quarterback of the team when it comes to football, the key ingredient, especially during this time of the year when you're talking about success. I mean, honestly, anything after this win or the next win is going to really be a bonus for a Villanova team that couldn't possibly have extremely high expectations without a point guard.
Tough treading, but I think, just like you said, I think they should win this game up against North Texas, but North Texas probably had one of these more bigger shockers, but I think the Ohio State one was the biggest shock. But North Texas pulling this off up against a team named Purdue from a certain conference. I don't know where they are with the conferences, but, hey, stronger things have happened before. But North Texas pulling this one off, 78-69. Incredible game. And they're going into overtime at that, and them basically almost beating them by 10 points in overtime. Chris, I'll talk to you about this one. How do you feel about Mean Green pulling this one off? Busted my, or at least this portion of the bracket. I want to say busted it, but actually – I did not have Purdue losing this. I had Purdue going a decent amount within the respective region. Your thoughts on North Texas winning this matchup?
You know what? I was shocked. I thought Purdue, with Villanova's injury with Connor Gillespie, would face Villanova in the second round and just eke out a win to go play Baylor. Shout out to Mean Green and then Texas, North Texas, getting it done. I think Purdue just ran out of gas, too. Towards the end of the second half, they had some emotional energy, but they came out flat in overtime, and I'm wondering if they were more of a byproduct of travel plus tournament play with the way that they went with Ohio State into overtime and whatnot. Yeah, I don't really think there's – I think they woke up in West Lafayette pretty much shocked, and they were expected to at least stay in the tournament probably until the Sweet 16, as everybody understood, as Deshaun alluded to, without Connor Gillespie. Villanova is a different type of team. So I think, you know, North Texas took advantage of being not known, and they exploited a weakness that they were able to find on tape. And I think North Texas has the ability to potentially upset Villanova. So I would take them seriously.
DT, do you agree with that? Do you think North Texas can actually oust Villanova, being a surprise or Cinderella in this tournament? And their play up against the Purdue team, and I'm not going to lie, people, as much as North Texas won this game, I respect Purdue every single season because their coach, I respect the coach. And he situates the team well because they're positioned, you know, they always have good bigs. They always have good guard play. And some odd reason, Purdue can't really figure it out. I mean, even I think the furthest I've ever seen them go was back in the big dog days with Glenn Robinson. But, I mean, your thoughts. Do you think North Texas teams could actually pull this out on Villanova in their upcoming matchup also?
Yeah, I think this being a Purdue team, honestly, that, you know, not that I had super high expectations for them, but I thought that it was a favorable region for them. Listen, if ain't nobody else had to deal with no travel, nobody has had to deal with less travel than Purdue just because they've been within the state since all the way back going into the regular season and haven't had to leave because the conference tournament was played there in Indianapolis as well. But Matt Painter just showing his face yet again. I actually had them advancing. I had that same team beating Baylor, as crazy as that may sound. And with that, you know, you got a North Texas team who came out really hot. They took the big man and Travion Williams out of the game. And it's all about surviving and advancing, you know, and now they're doing that. Do I give them a chance? Listen, if I've seen North Texas beat Villanova, how really surprised would I be? Probably not very surprised at all. If it was a double-digit win for Villanova over North Texas, how surprised would I be? Probably not really surprised at all. So I think that that's just one that could go either way. Nothing will really surprise me. I mean, I give both teams a good chance to move on and advance to the next round.
It'll be an interesting matchup, I'll say the least, because Villanova, a big dog in the Big East, and North Texas basically shocked the world being a 13 seed knocking off Purdue. Even though a lot of people probably watch a lot of their matchups, I really didn't see North Texas pulling this one off. I tip my hat. Mean Green, I tip my hat. We have Texas Tech beating Utah State 65-53. I don't know how I feel about Texas Tech moving forward, but this was interesting. Early they got past it, and they had another player step up in Kyler Edwards with a 12-point night. This wasn't the normal or usual start that Texas Tech could get off to, but they're advancing. It did what they needed to do. But I'm going to talk about another upsetting situation that actually hurt my bracket, because in all of my brackets, again, I went against the grain. Tennessee loses in a big-time form up against Oregon State. Oregon State wins this game 70-56. If you don't understand what just happened with Oregon State winning this one, the last time they've advanced or won a game in the first round was 39 years ago in knocking off Tennessee. Now, here goes the crazy part of Tennessee. Tennessee came out the gate playing good basketball this season. They started to falter and break down toward the close to the end. They got to the tournament, the SEC tournament. Questionable play for them to lose this way to Oregon State. Now, anything can happen in these matchups. Don't get me wrong. Anything can happen. But the way that they were beaten all game long, and as hard as Tennessee tried, Oregon State answered everything that they did. Every punch that they were throwing, they answered right back. Including in the second half, they were even 37-37. So that first half really sealed the deal for the Beavers. I want to see how you guys feel about this matchup, because I'm actually stunned that Tennessee lost this game. I'll start with you first on this one, Deshaun. Your thoughts on Oregon State winning big up against Tennessee?
Yeah, I told you, if there was a team that I wasn't really putting much stock in going into the NCAA tournament, was Tennessee. I mean, listen, that was a team that started out ranked in the top 10, maybe even top 6 or somewhere right up in that range, and ended up falling out of top 25, crawled all the way back in and whatnot. And listen, I told you, I call Rick Barnes is the Mike Budenholzer of college basketball. They always find a way to do a really good job in the regular season, find a way in the and when it come down to win-or-go-home scenarios, and end up dropping the ball on that one. And he's a good recruiter. You got Keon Johnson, Jaden Springer. They got another good class coming in next year as well, with Kennedy Chandler and a few other people. But at the end of the day, I mean, that's just what it is. I don't really believe in Rick Barnes very much. We can go as far back as you guys want to and talk about all the Texas players from Augustine to Durant to Damian James and Pittman and anybody and everybody else, LaMarcus Aldridge and Tristan Thompson. But they always find a way to not get it done, with the exception being in 2003 with T.J. Ford. Now, with that being said, you put them over in Tennessee, and granted, they're going to win some games. But listen, when I saw them as a 5 seed, I just knew that that was just potential 12 upset. Now, with Oregon State being the team, I didn't necessarily think so, but I did think that Tennessee was just that vulnerable, and they showed it 24 hours ago.
Is your thoughts on this game? We got two more left before we close the show. Oregon State winning big up against Tennessee.
I mean, I had Tennessee in the bracket, but I only did because I didn't think all the shooters from Oregon State would all shoot in the same night. Props out to the Beavers, but, you know, we kind of make fun of the Pac-12, so I would say anybody who's playing a Pac-12 team might want to go ahead and watch some extra film.
That's for sure, man. Oregon State, I got to give you guys credit. One of the lone Pac-12 teams still riding. We'll see how today remains for the Pac-12 also. One of the bigger upsets, I don't even know how I call this an upset or a smashing or shellacking, but Wisconsin winning their game 85-62 up against North Carolina. I want to do this quickly because we only got 6 minutes left. Have we seen the last game of Roy Williams coaching the Tar Heels? Do you think he has more in the bag? I'll come to you on this one, Chris. Your thoughts on the game and Roy Williams continuing to coach the Tar Heels?
Well, I have another breaking news alert here. Wisconsin just scored again on North Carolina. They could not miss from three. They hit 48%. Like, that's Wisconsin. I don't understand how North Carolina allowed it to happen. You've heard me here on the tailgate before. I think his body language says it all. I think it's time to transition. And if they don't do it now, then they need to put in their transition plan for the next season. Because I think he's done. I think health-wise, mentality-wise, for the program, it's time to get a younger, fresher voice.
Okay, DT, your thoughts on this one, a Big Ten school coming up big up against an ACC matchup. Do you think that we've seen the last of Roy Williams on the sideline?
I don't think that this is the last we're going to see of him. I couldn't really imagine who that replacement would be. It would be nice if it was my buddy Hubert Davis, who's very deserving. You have Wes Miller at UNCG, who is a Carolina alum and played on that team, who could be in the conversation for that as well. I don't know if you want to consider Jerry Stackhouse amongst anybody else. But yet still, I like to think that he's definitely going to be returning back to the team. Yeah, they got beat up pretty bad. I mean, Wisconsin wrapped a napkin around their neck on North Carolina, if I'm just being honest. Like, took them in the back, like, did like how my mom used to do me. If she finds out that you're talking and chewing that gum loud in church, like, she's going to take you into the women's bathroom, pull your pants down, and she's going to whoop you like you stole some and tell you to shut up and give you a peppermint and you go back out there and sit down and listen to the preacher. Like, that's how they treated them. Like, real backyard basketball, like a real beating. And at the end, I mean, it's something that could be maybe expected because we know that Carolina is very inexperienced despite the size that they had. Wisconsin being a team that certainly disappointed me this year, if anybody else did not name Duke or Kentucky. And then last but not least, on top of that, listen, when you're talking about the experience, they've got five, they're starting five seniors, and I think two or three of them are redshirt seniors. That's like 25 years old that can also, by the way, because of the new NCAA rule, can come back for another year. These guys are going to be old enough to be able to apply for freaking everything. Anything when it comes to, you name it. When it comes to 401K, when it comes to Social Security, when it comes to anything, a senior discount at McDonald's, they're old enough to do it. And that's why that they scare me when it comes down to them meeting up with Baylor a little bit, because Baylor has the experience as well, but Wisconsin is methodical. Wisconsin forces you to play their brand of basketball. They're older. They give you their back doors. They're the ones that played this game still so fundamentally sound and basic, the way that this thing was designed to be played all the way back when Dr. James Naismith created it December 21st of 1891. They got a chance.
There's no excuse out of North Carolina. There's no excuse. They gave Brand Davison 29 points. Like, he averaged 10 for the entire season. Brad Davison.
And they were shooting the three ball. They were shooting about 3-6 feet off of the 3-point line. They were so confident just watching them hit shot after shot. It's incredible. North Carolina, like, I don't even like the way that they're constructed. Not even the way that Roy Williams is coaching. Like their bigs aren't playing along the, you know, the in and out game with the guards. Like, there's a lot of mischief with that team. I don't know. North Carolina's got the fixes on the fly, and there's a player on their roster that I grew up with the family, R.J. Davis, and he's been questionable. That's a lot of the talk on where he lies within the roster, too, and it's baffling or troubling to see somebody that I know going through a struggle in his freshman season. Last but not least, another Big Ten ACC matchup in which the Big Ten outlasted the ACC, but this is a former Big East school. This is a former Big East school. I'm not giving it completely to them, but Rutgers actually wins their matchup up against Clemson, 60-56 in a very interesting matchup. Rutgers having to come back being down at halftime spells a lot to what they do. I feel like they can sneak by and get to a next round win, but I don't have them going that far. I need plugs and closeouts from both of you because we are at the tail end of the show, and if you want to give in-depth talk about the Rutgers-Clemson situation, I'm at the edge of my seat. I'm nervous because my boys are up next within the next 15 minutes. I'll come to you first on this one. Your thoughts on the matchup if you want to, and also a closeout as well.
I was wrong about that one. Go ahead, Dave.
Sorry about that. No, he cut out on me when he said I'm going to go to such and such, and so I didn't hear who he said. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I was just going to say I was wrong on Rutgers. Shout out to Ron Harper Jr., even though he had a bad game. They can squeak by the next round. Shout out Rutgers. Yo, I'm happy we got people here for the tailgate, and I'm more proud of my brother Timeless as every day goes by. And also for Deshaun, guys, if you don't know, you need to go ahead and follow him on IG for the Take Takes Hoops. It's a great podcast, and it's a great interview with heavy hitters in the college basketball world. So I want to take my time to shout out Deshaun.
DT, your thoughts on the Rutgers-Clemson quickly, and also a plug, anything that you'd like to promote as we shut the doors here at the tailgate?
Yeah, appreciate that, Chris. You might have actually oversold it a little bit, but I do appreciate the acknowledgement and the compliment and the kind gesture. I'm interested to see Rutgers in the next round. I don't think that they'll win it, but I do think that it'll be close. Part of the reason I'm saying that is because people talk about how powerful the tongue is, and you got to speak things into existence. I don't want my bracket busted any more than it already is, so I need Rutgers to lose. But it is a very winnable game for a team like Rutgers. So appreciate you guys just for sharing this space with me per usual. Overly thankful, grateful, appreciative. Remember to follow along on social media. Take to Take Hoops, TATESTAKE. Let's call it where basketball lives. So, you know, don't save it for the local barbershops. Don't save it for the local sports bars. We talk about it on my podcast. It's called Take to Take, anywhere that you find your favorite podcast. So, like I always say, tell your friends, tell your enemies, tell your mama, tell your grandmama, tell your baby mama, tell everybody where they can find the best, the most entertaining, the most informational, and the most educational basketball content on the planet in the form of a podcast. Take to Take.
Well, Sports City, you already know how this go down, man. I'm proud of Rutgers for them to actually have a new identity out there in the Big Ten. And for them to actually beat Clemson, I've actually had Clemson beating Rutgers. And I knew I should have went the other way. I'm mad that Rutgers upset my bracket at this portion of the bracket. But SportsCityChefs.com, check out the website, the interviews, the blogs. The chefs will be back here tomorrow with the Sunday morning brunch. More to come. I know a lot of people are sitting here waiting for this first game to take off. But on that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the Sports City Chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Sports City Chefs. Chefs, Sports City, Sports City, Chefs, Chefs, Sports City, Sports City, Chefs, Chefs, Sports City, Sports City, Chefs. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman vs. MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City, Sports City, Chefs, Chefs.
Connecticut.